Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Hey, and here is what's happening Tuesday, December 11th on this episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I'm Brady Wright with Master Mechanic Shane Osborne, who is not here as usual. He's in the paint booth sniffing whatever it is that they've got for the deadline of the car they're building. And, of course, Steve, the producer, Johan, a man who sings in the key of L. Back to the blacktop is first, where we check out what's happening in the automotive world. And as usual, Steve has a plethora of stuff to talk about. What do you got?
Well, you know, thinking of things you sniff in the paint booth. Ferrari 290 MM, remarkably rare, Scuderia Ferrari Works Racer, just sold for $22 million.
You know, Fosties. I didn't have any more money or I would have bid higher.
$22 million.
Of course it did.
Gosh.
But it's a one-off, right?
It is.
Yeah, that's it is. You know, and we're talking about collector cars and things, you know, earlier. And the collector value of something is whatever somebody's willing to pay. You know, you go to Meacham, you go to...
Sotheby's,
all of those guys. It's what they're willing to pay. You know, somewhere there's somebody who thought $22 million was a good deal for that car.
Well, and if you're somebody worth hundreds of millions, then that's not a big deal. You know, so and speaking of future collector cars, Maserati announced today a new 2019 My Limited Edition, and now get this, Ghibli.
Yeah.
Quattroporte. Okay. And the Levante Enzioni Nobile.
Don't ever read Italian. Just don't.
Why don't they do these words in English?
It's an Italian car.
I know, but still.
Maserati. What do you
spell? I mean, come on. I mean, who? Oh, gosh.
We'll do a translation for Steve. It's okay.
I do not speak Italian. And, well, anyway, there's only going to be 50 editions for each model. So 50 of these limited edition cars per each model, a total of 150 editions. And I even put in my notes here, why don't they choose easier names for us
because
English speakers?
Because they're Italian. It's perfectly easy for them, and they don't care.
But Ducati and Aprilia, that's easy.
It's because it has fewer letters. You don't. Well, here's, I'll make
well
you
I had a problem with a Porsche, one of the Porsche names, too, and
especially
that's German.
Since it's Porsche.
Yes.
I'll make Porsche. You a deal. If you have those things and you want to not, you know, do that, give it to me and I'll read it.
I will do that, but okay. I can't because my printer went bad and it's sitting here on my laptop now.
I've come to look forward to these things, though.
God. Everybody that's just like, okay, Johan's just going to hack that up. Especially, you know, Maserati will have to call us and say, we're going to let you take a nice test drive and we'll have a nice individual.
Maserati
will
call us
for
and say,
you.
Just don't talk about our cars, will you,
exactly.
please?
Exactly. Well, I think they're cool cars.
They are magnificent.
They're
cars.
Just awesome.
Did I ever tell you the story of my buddy who has a Maserati that he got basically for free?
Yes, we won't go there.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. It's a great, I mean.
It is. It's a great thing.
It's a marvelous
After
story.
After putting a lot of effort to it, the guy said, I can't afford it.
I can't afford it. I'll sign it off to you. Okay.
Well, now changing subjects, yes, you've heard of VP Racing Fuels, have you not?
I have.
Regarded as a leader in the racing fuel technology around the world.
Right.
And I didn't know this, but they're also known for scrumptious calendars.
Calendars.
VP Racing has been producing calendars for over 20 years, which featured prototype Cadillacs. See, I got Cadillac just fine.
All right.
In the IMSA series. But for 2019, the team put together someone special in a Coupe de Ville, namely a female in a star of the Netflix series Car Monsters, Masters, Rust to Riches, Constant Nunez. Have you seen
Nunez? Yes, I have. Yeah, she's gorgeous.
By the way, it's a great show.
It
like
is a good
that.
Show.
It's
sure.
a really cool show. So congratulations. She's making the rounds. And if you had been at the car show where they were at, you would have been able to get a autographed copy of that calendar. And I'm thinking that would be really nice on our wall in here. Because I got some room. I got room right over there.
Yeah, there is room over there.
Yeah, so I'm going to actually call VP Racing and say, do you have any extras of those?
Send us the catalog.
Yep. So, speaking of interesting things, did you know that, I didn't know this. Well, I did know this. Did you know that all electric cars, buyers get a credit? $7,500
credit? Yeah, there's a tax credit, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, according to the latest, GM is rallying in Washington, D.C., because 200,000 units is nearing the end, and they will get no more credits, and their Volt will be now $7,500 or more additional, because there will be no more credit. And come to find out, Tesla already hit the mark, and Ford and a couple of others are getting close to that, and that means that all that money is gone away. So I was thinking, do you think that was a great idea to underwrite the automotive sector by saying we're going to give a $7,500 credit to anybody who buys their car?
Well, it's a way to get people to buy electric cars.
I know.
Sure. Was it a good idea? Well, if that particular thing as a marketing and tax incentive worked to sell the vehicles and the vehicles are worth buying, then, yeah, it probably was a good idea. Okay. Time will tell.
Time will tell.
Yeah.
And but what's interesting is that California, which is the most biggest consumer.
The mostest, biggestest?
The biggest consumer only has 3% of their cars that are E, and another 3%, a little over 3%, which are hybrids.
It's easy to talk about electric cars. It's easy to talk about, you know, high-efficiency vehicles and stuff like that because it's sexy. It's good news.
It is.
But it's a really, really small portion
of
the automotive world. And, you know, because it gets ink and column inches and stuff, it's cool to talk about. But it's still really a technology in its infancy. And, you know, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see.
Well, it's not in the infancy, though.
Well,
it was one of the first automobiles were actually electric.
Well, I know. Yeah, I know. As a matter of fact, we'll find out about that because I have a question for our guest today about the electric vehicle.
That's right.
And charging station they have at their place. But we'll save that for next segment. But yeah, electric isn't new. But in terms of
the way they've
wide
done
acceptance,
it today, yes.
It's still pretty experimental.
And part of the thing is they've all are relying on China, and now China has had a huge turndown the last couple of years now of car sales due to many different factors. But so everybody's banking on, okay, we're going to sell more cars in China. We're going to sell more cars in China. And then guess what? China is not buying a lot of cars right now.
Right.
Oops, I guess. And then,
well, China's making cars.
Well, that's just...
You know, they've got an incentive to buy a Chinese car.
Yes, they do.
So...
So anyway, and then good news for sedan owners and sedan lovers is because Toyota officially recently reiterated the company has no intention, unlike many others, of leaving the passenger car business, stating consumers in the U.S. are expected to buy over 4 million passenger cars in 2019. And at 4 million units, the passenger car market is bigger than the market in most countries, and we wish to be a major player in this category.
That's Toyota, right?
Yes.
See, Toyota, Honda... Hyundai, some of those guys, they're not getting rid of sedans.
No.
It's the American cars that are, or the American manufacturers that are, you know, descaling that kind of thing because they're not selling as many sedans as the imports.
And
it's just
my son bought, what is it, the Hyundai Elantra, and he loves it. It's a great little car,
nice
100,000 mile warranty on there, and he just
And if
loves
you can't
it.
Get 200,000 off of it, you're not trying.
No.
They're good for 250 all day long.
At least.
Yeah.
At least.
Sure.
And then supercar maker McLaren, we love those guys,
McLaren's.
Keeps rolling out new models, extending its comeback from the brink of death. The latest is their 720S Spider, which is part of the Super Series product line. Comeback is part of the $1.6 billion Track 25 business plan that was the latest effort to revive the iconic sports car company. And the only one that seems to have taken... The new 720S Spider is available now. So, guys,
you know
and
why
gals,
McLaren is going to make it? You know why McLaren is going to be a success?
Because they make insanely killer cars.
No, also because just say the name
McLaren.
When you do, you end up smiling.
Yeah.
McLaren.
McLaren.
That's why. It'll never go
mighty.
Away.
It's a McLaren.
It's a
Oh, the McLarens. The McLaren.
Reminds me of Jackie
clan.
Stewart. You say McLaren and you think of Jackie Stewart. I do, anyway.
Golf.
No.
Supercars.
Well.
Jackie Stewart, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Oh, I
One
was
of the winningest of, race drivers ever?
Oh, that's right. Jeez. Sorry. I was thinking of the golf guy, so that was not it. Anyway, sorry
it's
about that.
It's a beautiful Jackie day Stewart. Of motor racing.
Well, anyways, we'll be right back with
yeah,
more of our
we
show
will.
And a really cool guest who's going to probably be able to fill us in on electric car history and a whole lot more. So hang on. We'll be right back with more of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, car enthusiast. Are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive. I'm
We are back with the second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Time for the windshield view, and this particular show, we are taking a look through the windshield at a gentleman by the name of Eric LeMay. And if that name rings a bell, it is because here in the Puget Sound area in the Pacific Northwest, we are blessed by having two marvelous facilities, probably some of the greatest facilities for classic cars in the world, the LeMay Museum, of course, America's Car Museum in Tacoma, and LeMay Marymount. And Eric LeMay, you must be part of that family. Welcome to the Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust show. Glad to have you.
No, thanks. Wonderful to be here. I'm always ready to talk about some great thing. We have a great car culture.
You have a magnificent
Sound
culture.
In Western Washington, yes. And it's always fun to talk about.
Well, we're glad to have you. And we were talking off mic a little earlier about, as a kid, I have to start with this. As a kid, my parents took me to the Bill Hara's Museum of Cars and his collection in Reno, Nevada. They were there on a convention, and that was, you know, a way to get me to shut up for a while because I was fairly young. But we spent 2 days, my dad and I spent 2 days out there taking pictures and looking at those cars. That was a huge, huge facility. And I honestly told Eric this offline. It was a formative experience for me to see all these cars, all these vehicles that there weren't any more of, were never going to be made anymore. Some of the coachwork and the things. I mean, there was Fossil Vegas and there was Talbot Lagos and there was amazing, you know, Franklins and Bugattis and all this stuff that I'd never. They actually had one of Bucky Fuller's Dymaxion transports out there. And was there two ever made or something like that? Some ridiculous thing. So when that collection went away and got broken up, I thought, man, you know, there's never going to be anything. And all of a sudden, here in Tacoma, which is a mere 40 miles from Seattle, there's this marvelous, absolutely gorgeous collection of everything that literally changed my life as a kid. And it's laid out. If you have not been, I have to say this, if you haven't been to the America's Car Museum, it's right off the freeway, right in the middle of downtown Tacoma. It is so gorgeous. And how many floors is that, Eric? Is it five?
I think it's five, yeah.
It's kind of weird. It's like an underground parking garage.
It kind of depends on which way you go up and which way you go down.
Right.
It's fascinating.
It's big.
There are so many things. Now, and you guys, I know at the museum, you rotate out the collection every few months or a couple of months or something like that. So there's a few things different, you know, if you go down there. If you haven't been for, you know, 2 months, go again, you'll see different stuff, right?
Well, see, I actually... there's different stuff at both museums.
Right.
You know, we have a good working relationship with the two museums.
Right.
But the ACM, America's Car Museum, has its own collection that it does a very good job, but also they do a great job of getting other collectors to loan things and have special collections come in.
Right.
And so that absolutely keeps it alive. At Marymount, what Marymount does is that it takes all of the storage things, kind of opens them up, but it also rotates things in and out because we can't even on 80 acres put all the cars that are in there.
Yeah, and that, what a magnificent. If you are a car person, no matter where you're listening to this show, it is worth going and making the pilgrimage. If you come to Seattle or Tacoma, come to the Pacific Northwest and go and see this thing. It is just phenomenal. And I've been to the ACM many times. I've only been out to Marymount once. It's you can't do it justice in one visit. Well, it's just crazy.
That's what I wanted to interrupt here. Because you're the family in LeMay is known. You have LeMay America's Car Museum. But that got taken over by another nonprofit organization or whoever, foundation. But you are you part of the owner or a...
you are the grandson, yes.
Grandson of
I'm Harold LeMay's grandson.
Right.
And the LeMay Marymount is a family-run...
Foundation,
and collection, and it's an old school, nunnery? What is that?
Yeah,
over
it's
there?
An old boys' military school.
Yeah,
and you know, basically, go back to your Harrah's beginnings.
Sure,
my grandpa went to those auctions. It was a series of auctions. I think there were four auctions.
Yeah,
he bought one car at the time, but it was Holiday Inn bought the Harrah's assets.
Yeah,
realized that the hotels and casinos worth a lot, bunch of old cars not so much good for us, so they sold them off. A great museum, the National Museum of Reno, came out of that, and the city really did a good rally around to save what they could at the time. And my grandpa and grandma went to those. Nancy, my grandma, they went to those. They said, "This is ridiculous. This was the greatest car collection that will ever exist, period."
It's
the one chance.
Bill was a legend.
It's the one chance we had to actually take American history through the automobile and show, basically put it into any context that anybody would want and be able to display it. It's a Smithsonian of cars, and it was poof,
literally
it was gone within 2 years of those auctions. It just went away.
Yep.
And that was the early 1980s, and that's where the light bulb goes off in Harold's head, my grandpa's head, and he says, you know, I can never do what Bill Harrah did, ever. Like, that just, there's no way. But, you know, in real time, I've kind of got, I think at the time he probably had 400 or 500 cars, but he was basically a used car guy that realized that some used cars were better than other used cars.
Right.
And so... not a hoarder, but a saver, where he'd realize that something kind of came along and that might be more valuable if I just hang on to it for 10 years.
Sure, sure.
But the Harrah auctions changed something in him where he said, well, there's nobody else that's sitting around saving these things at this point.
Somebody needed to step up.
Somebody's just got to step up.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter the value. It doesn't matter the investment. It's just put your arms around them and start saving them, because at some point down the road, that's going to matter. And people are going to realize splitting up the Harrah's collection was the biggest crime in the car world that had happened at that point.
They're gone.
And so that was basically how most of the 80s and 90s were spent by Harold and Nancy LeMay, was finding things that needed to be saved within their means, finding places to put them. And eventually, by the mid to late 1990s, it was realizing, okay, now there's a lot of stuff here. You're in the Guinness Book of Records. He had the largest private collector car museum or collector car collection in the world by the Guinness Book.
Right.
I think it's the unofficial, it's like 2,900 cars, but there were more than that even at that point by the mid 90s. And so the planning started to figure out, well, what does this mean? And what we realized was eventually there was going to be two types of attractions here, because there was this really great collection that was going to be, basically you have to give away the cars. And so it's a plan on how do you give away the cars and who wants the cars. And so that created the Harold E. LeMay Museum, which got an initial amount of cars, and then those cars ended up becoming LeMay America's Car Museum.
Right. And you were the original
founding director
of
that.
Yeah.
And then we started to realize, well, there's still a whole lot of cars left over. There's a whole lot of things. And so then we created a second thing, which is the LeMay Families Collection Foundation.
Right.
And we took Marymount, which is an 89-acre property in Spanaway Parkland area, and we said, all right, this is where all the other collections are going to go and all the other cars. And then over the next 10 years, it kind of was figured out that these are two different brands.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I describe it very much is that if you were to go to Pierce County and do cars, it's like going to the Tacoma Mall.
There you go.
You've got two anchors. You've got the Sears and the Nordstrom. Two really different things that both sell shoes.
Yeah. Yes.
It's just how you're going to consume and right. find your shoes.
So it's a marketing question.
All the other things that are around your shoes
right.
are different. And then in Pierce County and even in this whole region, you have all the little stores that infill in between.
Right.
And that's where we kind of started to hit the jackpot of realizing that these are two different types of things. And
yes.
they can anchor an entire community. And you can never recreate what, you know, Reno was in the Harry years and Sparks and Hot August Nights and all of that time.
Sure.
But we're close.
Well, that is really interesting. And we got a lot more coming up for you on this next segment. And I've been to both places. And I can tell you there is definitely a difference in feel and flair. But will we spend more time on that? Of course, we've got the old Carnot book story coming up right coming up after these few announcements. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored four-on-the-floor red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
More horsepower, chrome, and rust after these messages.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Oh, yeah. This is the third segment of the show. This week we are talking with Eric LeMay of the LeMay Collection, America's Car Museum, and the LeMay Collection at Marymount. And we want to welcome Eric back. We were talking about the difference between the two facilities.
Yes.
And if you just came with us or came to us, there are, in fact, two very differently focused sort of collections that encompass the LeMay experience, if you will. And we were talking about how that kind of plays out in terms of the way you feel about it. Eric was making a great analogy between two different kinds of anchor stores at a mall, and I go with that because that was fun.
Oh, it's exactly. I mean, I think that exactly describes it. That at America's Car Museum, you have one of the greatest car museums in the world, bar none, as an institution, as a retail type way to take in the history of the automobile. I mean, it is one of the best in literally in the world at doing that in Tacoma.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
At Marymount, we have literally one of the greatest collections in the world in one of the best facilities, this historic facility. We're on more than 80 acres of property, so we can do car shows year-round. We do, I mean, we do a whole bunch
and
of
And you
special,
do. Yeah,
yeah, we do a ton of special events, host car shows, all of that. But I like to say we're a little bit more dirty fingernails
at
Marymount.
Yes. Yep.
In that it's a different way of absorbing and learning the car. We do guided tours. We have used docents. We have... We have more than 200 volunteers that work year-round, and we have about 40 to 60 docents at any given time. So everything is a hands-on learn, and if you getting the hood open is a little bit easier at Marymount.
Yeah,
you know, being a little bit closer to the car is easier. We do a lot more rolling stock of moving our cars around. We have an active restoration shop on site. We are just a different type of experience.
Well,
the
and
nice
it
kind
of reminds me of when I was there. It looks like a collection, so it's full of car right next to each other. They're all parked end to end, and it's like a barn find. It's like the world's biggest barn find ever, and that's how I kind of look at it. It's like it's just you'll see an exotic next to an old Fiat, next to an old American car, next to... So it's not like you're calling out cars. You're getting to see each car as they are, unique. You could see they were driven. It's not like these are trailer queens. These are just real cars. And that's what it's like. This is tangible.
Yeah, most of them are tangible. And the other thing at Marymount that's really fun, I mean, we've got a great library. My wife, Pilar, works on the library. But we also have other collections. It's LeMay Family Collections. See, you guys will know this. I mean, just looking at the Hot Wheels that are sitting around. When you start in kind of the collector mode, it's not just cars. And so what I said when I kind of took over trying to help shape this was we're going to look at all of these things, from meat grinder collections to outboard motors to old-time radios to printing presses that we have. All of it, and we're going to say what our goal at Marymount and what the goal with the LeMay collections in general, this is back in the mid-90s, is to use the automobiles, a three-dimensional representation of time and place, and we are going to focus on its use in art, business, technology, and culture. And we want to collect things and keep collections together that help support how the automobile says that. So art... art, design, the business side of it is, so that's like, I mean, and some cars actually do all those things. Like I could roll out the Tucker. I could talk for an hour just on the Tucker because it is design, business, technology, and culture all rolled into one.
All at once, you bet.
And some cars are really strong, and it's kind of fun. We were doing a collections assessment after Grandpa died of what to keep and what, kind of how to sort it all out. We're actually sitting around kind of figuring out graphics of where you end up on a model with each car and model and, where is it in the importance for design, business, technology, or culture? And that's how we started thinking about the cars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And figuring out what are museum pieces and,
Sure.
And my Uncle Doug has been awesome because we took all of that and then he's continued to add to the collection, supplement, sell cars that are duplicates in those places. And so what you'll see at Marymount is a very dynamic collection that's still a family that's figuring out how do you look back at that Harris collection? How do you figure out what is a good car collection for a museum for the public to own? To tell these stories.
Well, so many people, I think, it's easy to say, my collection centers around the Tri-Fives, 55, 6, 7 Chevys. Everybody understands that particular thing. A larger look at something like that is, what were all of the cars that had body by Fisher? Who was the Harley Earl section of how the culture sort of responded to that? Because certain types of design really resonated with the culture. There was the whole Cadillac Fins era. And it just makes a difference, which sort of goes to the the expansion of the collection, the 63 Chevrolet, is an iconic design, not because it was so all-fired amazing, but because it spoke to something that happened right then and there. And there's all kinds of stuff that built around the country around those times, too. And it's interesting to see that not only have you got the cars and the collections and the sort of peripheral stuff that relates to it, but I want to go back to what you said about the docents and the volunteers. Mm-hmm. Every time I have been to this thing, and I've count myself lucky that I've been able to go multiple times.
That's awesome.
Being a car guy, you can sit and look at cars all day long, but you always take somebody, and you always talk about this is the thing, and this is what is about that. And the docents know everything.
Mm.
They know everything.
Yeah. Aren't they great?
It's just marvelous. Like, you sitting there and scratching your head and going, well, you know, and here comes somebody going, let me tell you about this. And it doesn't matter what part of the car you're looking at. They'll tell you why the headlight trim rings were set up in that particular. It's just fascinating. And to do that as a volunteer, I mean, it's a labor of love. But to bring in docents and people to be there all the time, I don't know how many people you have on site every time, but there's got to be 20 or more.
And we always want more.
Yeah,
and
of course.
We are actively, I mean, between, like, we do a Model T driver's training course.
Perfect. See, there you go.
We do, and, you know, we're hoping to expand that into being for students and technical colleges and stuff and actually, you know, expand that. But we do a docents training kind of university.
Oh, you have to.
Oh, wow.
And we really, all you have to do, if you want to be part of the LeMay Collection of Marymount, come do the basic training. It's a few hours.
There you go.
And then be willing to do the book work yourself.
Right.
And bring what you already know, or just be willing to listen and learn. And you are welcome to have paws on. I mean, I'm not saying, like, you know,
you're not lateral. You're not driving.
We're not going to let you just jump in something and drive it, you know, on your prom date. But the idea is that what we want to encourage at Marymount, and the docents do this just incredible, as you said, but
it's
we
amazing.
Want to be inclusive to bring as many new people into it. And it's not just car people that are docents. And
sure.
You probably saw this too, in that there's people that just, you know, they like just what the car community and the car culture, they like the car type people, even though they're not a car type person. And
yeah.
It's like,
I'll tell you, great experience I had down in the America's Car Museum in Tacoma, down lower in one of the levels, there's an electric car. And to be honest with you, I can't remember the name of the car, but I remember that there's also on display down there the charging station that came with that vehicle, and I'd come with it, but you could buy it if you wanted to. And it's huge. It's like two great big old-time gas pumps together. And we're sitting there looking at this thing, and there happened to be one of the docents, one of the, you know, volunteers standing there. And the car was fascinating, but the charging station, to me, was really, really interesting. And we were sort of, you know, rubbernecking you can't get up and really mess with it, but I was looking at it. And this guy stepped over and said, let me tell you about this. And he spent 10 minutes just talking to us, to me and the guy that I was with, just about that. Had nothing to do with the car, had to do with the charging station and the engineering behind it and what the process was and how, it's like, you know, this is a Tesla station in 1918 or whatever the heck the thing was built in. Fascinating. And that kind of stuff, that kind of conversation, you don't get at a lot of museums. You just don't. And it's there. It's there. They're willing to talk about almost anything.
What's interesting is it is you do have both museums, and each one takes a day.
You're lucky,
you can't just say, okay, we're gonna go to Tacoma, we're gonna go see America's Car, LeMay America's Car, and then we're gonna go over to Marymount, we're gonna see that.
No,
you need a full day at both of these locations.
Yeah, it's a weekend trip to Tacoma.
It is.
I mean, that's what it's meant to be. Is to bring people from around the world that want to come see cars.
There's a Groupon thing for you there someplace.
Weekend.
Yeah.
Well, but can I just tell a funny story
about
the electric?
Yes. Yeah.
That if you go in what's called LeMay Hall at Marymount, if you go to the back left corner towards the door, goes in towards where the Tucker is and all of the hot rods and everything, cut the custom cars, you'll see a whole bunch of marks where there's rubber marks, tire marks. And what that is that 1912 Detroit Electric you saw?
Yeah.
We had it charged up, and we started having.
Of course, you did.
this is kind of the Marymount attitude.
Oh, good.
Was once we realized you had 100% torque at zero RPMs.
Oh, yeah.
In a 1912 car.
Yep.
And there were no other cars that day in this room at LeMay Hall, and we realized that you could just start burning out because the floors are painted.
Sure.
Right.
And so there was nothing to catch.
Nothing.
And
yeah.
It had new tires on it, new rubber, and so. Then we thought, oh, crap, or crud, we really screwed up the floor. Well, those burnout marks are still
they're the best part of the show.
Every time somebody talks about an electric vehicle,
yeah.
Right. You know, where electrics are going and everything, those burnout marks, you have to look at those because that is the technology that more than 100 years ago, 100% torque at zero RPM, Tesla's just hoping they hope that the world catches on to that existed once.
Oh, yeah.
And we're gonna do it again. Because, I mean, that Detroit Electric that you saw next to that battery, that is just a fascinating automobile.
It's amazing.
You know, it doesn't go very fast. It's a golf cart, basically. But
for the time. And by the way, how many electric golf carts are there out there that you can do a burnout with?
Yeah, no, that's exactly. You know? It had the torque.
Yeah.
Well, and when you're thinking about this, have you ever heard of R.J. Letourneau?
No.
Well, he was the inventor of heavy construction, as in road graders, earth movers, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think you ought to look him up because you're a historian. But he took those motors that were from the cars because they had scrapped all the cars at the turn of the century, and he went and started putting them on his contraptions. And the next thing you know, he's doing independent drives on these earth movers, and he was the one who invented that. Caterpillar was doing the bulldozers. He invented the earth movers, and they were all independent, and that technology is still being going on today. But he was became very wealthy, gave most of his money away. But that history of that technology was astounding, and it's still with us today. So it really harkens back to a different era.
And that's what I hope when people go to the car museums, go to Marymount, go to America's Car Museum, LeMay America's Car Museum. If you go to either of them, that's what we hope people start recognizing about technology, about engineering, about design.
Yep.
That's another thing when you have to look at hundreds of cars until you can really start to appreciate that the things you like and don't like about design today, those cars have spent 100 years of America kind of coming first.
Percolating
in our minds of what we like about an American style.
Yeah.
That at any given time changes, but
there's development
really
involved.
Doesn't because it's happened before.
Sure. Well, and it relates to the culture. You know, so there's a flamboyance in some of the, you know, mid and late 50s cars that became toned down, you know, in the 70s and 80s that became, you know, muscle-oriented later on. It's real interesting to see how the culture is reflected in the automotive design.
Of the
yes,
the 20s.
Of course,
And how that affected cars.
Sure.
And just
well,
the Tucker, to
use that as an example, the Tucker looks like it does, or looked like it did, because of the post-war mentality.
That's right.
Yeah, no, and those things will all come back. That's what I think is interesting. Like you look at now, you know, whether it's GM or it's Ford or whatever, talking about what car lines are coming and going and how they're doing things.
Right.
To me, those are just blips on the map in terms of, you know, if it's 10 years that it goes away, it'll be back. Like that's what looking at 120 years of cars in America, nothing is going to end. Because they stop a line or close a plant today.
Sure.
It may be a different technology under the hood. It may be a different what it looks like on the inside. It may be a different who drives it or how we drive it. But there's something that's going to come back and replace what goes
away. Well, muscle cars are back.
Yeah.
After 25 years. Yeah. Here
they're stronger and faster than ever. Oh, my gosh.
I tell people if you want to appreciate the next classic cars, they're actually out there right now because we may be at the height of what you can do with muscle cars right
now. Think about that in 30 years.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
You got a Dodge Magnum? Man, that was one of the first muscle station wagons. Yeah, it's clear. It's going to happen.
It is.
Hey, the America's Car Museum and the LeMay at Marymount, they're both in kind of South Puget Sound area. We're going to put links up on the Facebook page and on the website so that everybody knows where it's at. Eric LeMay, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us. This has been just grand. We'd love to have you back.
Yeah, I'd love to come back. Thank you. Thanks
Marvelous.
For having me.
Maravilloso. And by the way, you can go and check out LeMay on their Facebook page. They've got a website as well. It's truly amazing. And if you come to the Pacific Northwest and you do not go, you, sir, are a loser. You're listening to the greatest automotive info show in the known world, Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We've got a cool hot rod story that you can tell people and claim it was yours. That's coming up next.
The Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs.
This is Elton Roundhill and Shane Osborne with E-Company Customs in Linwood, Washington. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Robert with Bonbrenner Motorsport. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Welcome to the fourth segment of today's show. This is Cars Confidential, wherein we share all kinds of hot rod stories. And as per usual, I got a really good one this time. This one is actually a story in memoriam. It is from the old Car Nut book number 2. And there's a section in there about guys who have shared stories and then who've left us. Took the Rainbow Bridge to someplace else. And this particular one is from a guy by the name of Bob Beeler. And here's what David Dickinson, the compiler of the book, says about Bobby. Says, as part of my hunt for stories from old car guys across the country, I put out the word on Facebook. I simply asked people to email their stories to me, and one day I found the story below posted directly to my Facebook page. The story was too short, and the accompanying photo was pretty blurry, but it was a great story, so I immediately wrote back to him and I asked him to call me. Well, he did, and we talked for about 45 minutes. Bob Beeler was a very interesting character, and he had stories and pictures that he was eager to share for the book. He thought it was a great idea. He wanted to be a part of it, so we made arrangements to meet the next week at his shop. Now, that meeting never happened, because sadly, Bob passed away suddenly and unexpectedly the next morning.
Wow.
So I met with his wife, Tanya, a few weeks later, and we developed several stories about Bob, which appear in the first book and in this book. But this story is directly from Bob, the original story that he posted on my Facebook page and the beginning of some wonderful relationships I've developed with his family and friends since his passing. Here's the story. It's called I Wanted to Join the Prowlers. My name is Bob Beeler. I'm an old hot rod guy from San Diego. Just a few months from hitting 70, I'm still in the game and still having fun. When I was in school, we cruised the burger joints, and the best place in town was Oscar's, because you could get a Coke for a dime from a car hop on skates and wait for the Prowlers to cruise through. The Prowlers is one of the oldest clubs in the country, started in 1947. And these guys still have the bitchinest cars. His quote, my biggest goal in life was to someday have a car cool enough to join the Prowlers. I had a few pretty rough hot rods, but when I got out of the Air Force, I started building a full-fendered 1923 Model T Roadster. It turned out pretty cool, and we were cruising. Every year, the Prowlers have a picnic, and we were invited. We cruised in, parked right in the middle of all the coolest cars in town. Wow. I mean, we were having fun now. Well, old Bob, being a beer drinker at the time, started right in, and after a while, they had a chug-a-lug contest, so, of course, I had to get involved in that. Shortly after, I was hammered and planked out on a picnic table when a member of the Prowlers, Bruce Hamilton, came up to me and asked if I would be interested in joining their club. The only word I could get out without puking was, "No." Well, that ended my dream. Don't let alcohol get in the way of your dreams. I wanted to be a prowler. Now, I see, that's maybe a lesson in life.
Yes.
Don't get hammered when you're a prospect, I suppose, unless that's part of the club.
Yes.
But, you know, car clubs, people, you know, there's all kinds of car clubs. There are, you know, big ones, small ones, good ones, bad ones, weird ones, new ones, and all that kind of stuff. But the essence of a car club is cruising. The essence of a car club is hanging around with other people who have cars that you like and whose cars you like. And, of course, the real essence of a car club is sitting around talking about cars. And it sounds like Bob did a great job of doing that. With the fact that he never got to join the Prowlers, hey, you know, it's just another story in the old Car Nut book. And as we are getting close to Christmas,
yes,
I should say that the old Car Nut book has three books in the series. I know that David has stories collected for the fourth one, but if you wanted to make a real nice gift for the car person on your list, check out Amazon, the old Car Nut book. 1, 2, and 3 are available individually or as a series. And, you know, we always say they make a great gift. And
yes, they do. They do. I've had many a time just enjoying it. I got my father, I think on one of our earlier shows way back when, I had my recording of my father.
Yeah, I remember.
And he had been out of the service not too long, and he and his buddies went, and man, what a story that was. I still have that. So
you bet.
You know, I came across this very interesting, since we've got a little bit of time here. California, I put this under, stupid does what stupid is when it comes to the following article. California, this is Chips, arrested a 45-year-old man early Friday morning under the suspicion of driving under the influence while his 2017 Tesla Model S was operating in autopilot on Highway 101.
Was he asleep in the back seat or something?
While condemned previously for misleading its market, Tesla has been clear of late that autopilot is not self-driving.
Right.
Likewise, anyone who owns one of its vehicles should be able to understand that the features has its limitations, necessitating regular human involvement to complete any journey. However, none of this has stopped individuals from abusing the driving aid.
In other words, stupid stuff.
Yes, another motorist was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence of alcohol after his Tesla collided with a fire truck.
No.
Earlier in the year, another owner passed out while behind the wheel. Fortunately, autopilot brought the vehicle to a stop in the middle of the Oakland Bay Bridge.
Right, and that's what they'll do. The Cadillac system is the same.
Yes.
You have to look at it. It's got sensors. And if you're not paying attention for more than about 25 seconds, it gives you a bunch of buzzes and slaps and stops and
right.
says, stop, you know, knock it off, and it won't go on. And Tesla's has a similar, you know, function, but for heaven's sake.
But you know, it kind of reminds me of my buddies and I in high school. We lived in Ferndale, which is like an hour and a half north of Seattle. But all the concerts are in Seattle, so we'd get tickets.
Yeah.
We'd drive down on a Friday, go see the concert, get out at 11 o'clock at night or whenever it was, in 11:30, 12 o'clock, and we'd get back in the car, and then we'd head home. And there were times when I swear if I had had toothpicks, I would have used them because my eyes were going out when I was...
So everybody knows, Ferndale is a good hour and a half from Seattle on a good day.
On a good
with
day.
With no traffic.
Probably
and
2 hours.
And you go through three cities. Well, it's 82 miles.
Yes.
But that's deceiving because
it's
not...
dark.
It's dark, yeah. It's not regularly traveled freeway.
And you're
freeway.
Pretty burned out because you've been to a concert. You can imagine what that was like in the 70s.
Sure.
And so there were some times when I'm like, this is not good. So ultimately, one of my best buddies, Zane and I... we got the wise idea that he was one of the guys that I hung out with who was a couple years ahead of me, full-time job. So we're like, let's get the tickets and let's stay overnight. So we just came down, got a motel, stayed overnight, went home Saturday.
You were one of the smart ones.
Yes. But that was only after, several, maybe a dozen at least, road trips to and from Seattle.
Yeah.
And almost waking up several times because I was falling asleep.
Yeah, they used to call that jerk napping.
Yes. Well, wasn't that in Family Vacation, the movie? He falls asleep, and the next thing, the wagon just starts going down the side of the... I'll tell you.
Well, that was funny in the movie because people had done that. I mean, you know,
well,
it's not new to fall asleep
at
the wheel.
No, it's not. But I'm like, maybe an autopilot would have worked great for us back in the high school days. But on
well,
the other hand,
have been stopped in the middle
we
of the
would have, well, we would have abused the dickens out of it.
Oh,
so,
yes. Oh, yes.
So, folks, if you have one of these vehicles, please, no drinking and driving, no matter what. And if you feel like you got to go to sleep, just pull over.
Yeah. The other thing is, if you have one of these vehicles with that function, read the manual, please.
Oh, yes.
It says right there, don't let it drive for you. That's not what it's for.
Well, and here's another thing. My wife and I would go down to the week, just for a weekend, we'd go down and see her folks in Portland and from Linwood. And that's a good 3 hours. And we would drive down, and it wasn't just going to Portland. It was going to Silverdale and Monmouth and aunts and uncles and both grandparents. And by the time we probably put in a couple hundred miles easy just down there. And then we'd come back Sunday afternoon. I would be so pooped out, we'd pull over about Fife and just crash for a couple hours. Wake up, then make it the way home.
Yep.
It just got to the point where I'm like, honey, I can't sleep. I mean, I'm falling asleep. Okay. So
it's just the better part of valor.
It really is. It really is. So. And we got a great idea coming up. Oh, do you have an answer for this week's trivia question?
Just you wait and
see.
Oh,
cool.
Just you wait and see.
I don't know if you saw this, but Ford is coming out with a even more powerful engine coming up soon. They're supposed to come out with a Mustang to compete with the Mustang-eating Dodge Demon Hellcat. And it's going to be in their new Shelby Cobra. Stay tuned. It's going to be putting out 700-some-odd horsepower.
Well, that's what it is, you know. It's back and forth. Whoever's got the hot car.
That's right. Back to the good old days. Hang with us. We'll be right back with more of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, and some trivia. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored, four-on-the-floor, red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hang on till right after these messages.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand.
Kind of reminds me of the Hot Wheels era.
Did they make a Hot Wheels El Camino?
No, they did. It's right there. They got three of them on the wall, They're hanging up on the wall.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. Well, so we are in the fifth and final segment of the show. This is Around the Wheel. We got events, rallies, club stuff, and all kinds of cool things, plus the weekly trivia question. But before we get to that, I want to share something. I found this online, and we're going to make several editions out of this because it's too long to just do now. This is a list of the 30 worst and slowest muscle cars ever built.
Ooh.
And it's not too much of a stretch. I mean, obviously, muscle cars are back, and it's a big deal. And muscle cars have always been fun. It's part of the American culture, bigger, badder, faster. But, you know, big block motors and all this cool stuff, some of the ones that they did during the 70s were sad chapters in the muscle car history.
Yes, they were.
And I'll just share a couple with you. Number one, the slowest, most horrible muscle car ever built, ladies and gentlemen, the 1974 Pontiac GTO.
Oh, geez.
Now, you say GTO, and people go, oh, the GOAT, yeah, that was it. Okay, in 74, they were in the depths of the gas crisis, and everything was horrible. They downsized the GTO from a separate model to only just a trimline option, the 74 Pontiac Ventura. Now, the Ventura was a horrible car. It was just a badly visualized car. It was the smallest, the most inexpensive Pontiac you could get. It's basically a Chevy Nova sister. And so they made a GTO. They slapped some decals on the economy model, and they added a 5.7-liter V8 that delivered a whopping, are you ready for this, 200 horse.
Oh, I know.
They had slow sales for several years around that, but despite the success of, you know, the Trans Am, the Firebird, the GTO at that point wasn't popular enough to justify investing in a separate model, so they just basically kind of, you know, considered the 74 GOAT as a pathetic. They just sold 7,000 of them, and then they finally just killed the brand. It was horrible. And they're ugly, too. When you go to check them out, they are ugly. But I thought I would share that with you just because it's kind of fun.
That is.
So we had a trivia question. Last week it was, where was the first three-color traffic signal ever installed? Three-color. Now, this is, you know, an electric, by the way, not just, you know,
right,
signs. And we did not get a winner this week, but that's okay, because we still have an unlimited supply of barn find dust that we could give away. But where was it installed? You may want to know. It was in Detroit, Michigan.
Oh.
But when is the cool thing? Electric stoplights, right? 1919.
Yes.
2 years later, they kind of experimented with synchronized lights because they realized that the timing was off and everybody was standing there for 5 years. So, yeah, 1919. Nobody came up with that, but that's okay. You may have luck with this next question, because for next week, GM, of course, has been, you know, selling cars hand over fist forever. But there was one particular car that GM made that had the distinction of being the 100 millionth GM car ever built in the United States. The 100 millionth car.
Ooh.
And it's not what you think. It's very specific. And if you know, you get with us on Facebook. You can give us a jingle on, you can get us an email, contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com, or you can go to the Facebook page and put in an answer there. That's just fine. Or you can send us a Facebook message. And you too, yes, you too, may end up with your coveted bucket of horsepower, chrome,
and
rust,
start
barn find dust.
Yeah, and start uploading pictures of your really cool Hot Wheels.
Oh, yeah.
Because we got a special edition Hot Wheels.
Christmas show is going to be killer.
Christmas show is going to be great.
Yeah.
And maybe include a few words of what made that so special, what Hot Wheels played in your life.
If you were a Hot Wheels guy or girl, do send us pictures of your favorite Hot Wheels cars, because Christmas show is going to be really, really great relating to that. And we sincerely hope that here at Horsepower Chrome and Rust, we sincerely hope that all of you get Hot Wheels in your Christmas stocking. Because who doesn't like Hot Wheels? Come on.
That's right.
It's pretty cool.
So anyway,
that's what it is. Also, next week we got a really special guest coming, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. But in the meantime, again, if you like what we do, please take a moment, go to the Facebook page, like and follow our website and our Facebook page. I want to thank Eric LeMay for being our guest tonight from the America's Car Museum and LeMay Collection at Marymount. For Brady Wright and Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, well, that's me, of course, and I like to have you continue to keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Slide on by next week. We'll do another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.